2 Peter 1:1. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to all of you who share the same precious faith we have. Now, that's supposed to be all of us that are believers in Jesus Christ. And Peter, you notice Peter says this same precious faith. Because if we have that same precious faith and we believe it, what did our King just say over there in Matthew 17 that we could do if we had that kind of faith? How much, what would be impossible with us? Nothing. I'm telling you, the average person does not believe this book. I was a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, and still, I mean, I've been now 72 years. I've been in this, well, not quite that many, but maybe I was a few years old when I first got started studying. But I've been in this book all of my life, and I think how little faith I still have. But I was just telling some of them there a while ago, I said, when I first began to get a hold of these promises, I remember one day that, in fact, this young man was about, I don't know, 14, 15 or something like that. And he was the son of a good friend of mine. We were over at their house that night. And he walked into the house, and he had a great big old white thing on the back of his hand right there. Now, I'm just learning these promises. You've got to understand. You know, I'm reading them and trying to believe them, but I've never been able to step out to do anything yet. But I see this great big old white thing on the back of his hand, and his name was Cliff. And I said, Cliff, what's wrong with your hand, son? He said, well, Thurman, I got a great big wart on the back of my hand. And some of those promises just popped up in my head. And I said, well, how would you like to get rid of that? Well, he said, Thurman, that's why I've been putting the medicine on it. That's what that is. That's medicine. I want to get rid of it. I hate it. He said, the thing was big as a nickel or maybe bigger. I said, well, come over here and let me look at it. So he came over and I looked at that big old thing. In fact, I even rubbed on it a little bit and I thought, wow, what a big old wart. I said, it'll come off, I guarantee you. So I go home and I take one or two of those awesome promises. And I get on my knees and I tremble. And I ask the Father in the name of Jesus to take that wart off the back of that boy's hand. Completely take it off. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. 3 weeks later, this boy called me and said, Thurman, praise God. I said, well, Cliff, how you doing tonight? He said, you know that big old wart that was on the back of my hand, you said it'd come off? I said, yeah. He said, it's gone. My first words was, you don't mean it. Now, doesn't that sound like a real man of faith? Now, where do we have to start? We have to start on the bottom. None of us start out with this great, monstrous faith, do we? No, none of us did. And somebody called here a while back and they said, oh, you know, Thurman must have just been born. He's talking to me, he said, you must have just been born with this great faith. I've never seen anybody can do what you could do. I began to tell them about some of my failures way back. They said, it can't be. I said, yeah, I'm a normal human being like everybody else. I said, I had to develop this faith. It didn't just come overnight. It's like all of us, right? We have to develop our faith from God's Word. We read it, we get some of these promises, and you think about this. He said, I'm writing this to all of you that have this like precious faith. Faith given to us by Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, who makes us right with God. So who gives us this great faith? The Lord does. I mean, when we get saved, He gives us His faith. Now He expects us to use this for His glory. Amen. And most of us would just kind of let it go right on by. And that's what I did for years and years and years. And then He says there, may God bless you with His special favor and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus, our God and Lord, better and better. Well, now see, that's the problem. Some of us never get to know Him very well. And why do we never get to know Him very well? Because, you know, it takes some effort to every time you come home in the evening or when you get in your car on the way to work in the morning to slip a CD in there and start listening to God's Word, you know. I mean, and when you get home in the afternoon, or when you were like I was, an engineer, I traveled all over the country, and I'd take my Bible, and as soon as I got on that airplane, sit down, my Bible's out, open, and I'm reading. And I remember one day coming out of Chicago, I broke my Bible. Of course, when I first got in, there was a lady sitting beside me, a little older than me, and then her husband was sitting on the other side of her. He's sitting by the window. And of course, when we got in, I laid my Bible on my knees to start to open it, and then she started talking. Well, I'm trying to answer her questions. You know, what do you do? Where are you going? You know, where are you being? What have you been doing? You know, I mean, everything in the world. And so I'm trying to answer all of her questions. Well, she talked to me until we got airborne. The minute we got airborne, now she's looking out the window. And so I opened my Bible and I start reading, and I'm reading there, and about 30 minutes into the flight, we were coming from Chicago to Dallas. And she says, sir, I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I don't like to interrupt you, but is that a Bible you're reading? I thought to myself, ma'am, if you don't know what this is, here it is, open my lap. You can see all the scriptures and everything else. I said, well, yes, ma'am, it's a Bible. And she says, do you read that often? I said, every day. I said, I read this Bible every day. I said, by the way, do you read yours? She said, oh, no. I said, are you a Christian? She said, I'm a Catholic. I said, well, that's not what I asked. And about that time, her husband, he said, what did you say over there, son? And I said, well, I was just asking your wife, does she read her Bible? She said, no. I said, are you her husband? He said, oh, yeah. I said, do you go to church? Oh, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. I said, well, do you read the Bible? He said, never. I said, what kind of church you go to? He said, I'm a Catholic. I said, let me read a verse to you. And I turned over to Romans chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10. But what does it say? The word is near me, is in my mouth and in my heart. That if I will confess Jesus Christ with my mouth and believe with my heart the Father raised him from the dead, I will be saved or born again. I said, have either one of you ever done that? No. Never heard that before in our life. I said, now, you go to a Catholic church every week, and you ain't never heard that in your life? He said, I ain't never heard that in my life. I said, you mean you never heard that you have to do something to be saved? Just to be a Catholic doesn't mean you're going to heaven? Oh, he said, oh, I'm a Catholic, and I'm going to heaven. I don't have to do nothing else but be a Catholic. Well, I guess that means that if I'm a Baptist then, that's all I got to do is go to be a Baptist to go to heaven. Is that right?
No.
No? That won't get me there?
No.
So let's just say then that if I confess that scripture I just read to you, Romans 10, 8, and 9, does that mean I'm guaranteed heaven?
Guaranteed.
Now, wait a minute. What if I didn't do it by faith? It says we're saved by what?
Faith.
So then you walk up to somebody, you have no idea how many men I've dealt with in my life. They come in and I deal with them some way, you know, in business. And after we get through, I say, are you a Christian? I hope so. Are you going to heaven? I hope so. That would be kind of like this gentleman sitting over here in the back as a medical doctor. Now, if I didn't know him and I walked in his office and I said, sir, I said, are you a doctor? And he said, well, I think so. I hope so. I did go to school, but you know, I'm not sure. Are you going to let him work on you? If he says, yes, son, I'm a medical doctor, I've been doing it for 30 years, sit down there. I know what your problem is. Now then, that's the kind of doctor I'm looking for. Is that right? I'm not looking for one that says, I hope I am. But see, there's lots of men and women that say they're a Christian that they're not. Because it says, I have to do this by faith. In other words, if I say, I hope I'm going to heaven, it ain't going to work. You know, if somebody asks you, do you know you're a born-again Christian?
Sure do.
Absolutely. You, I mean, because you read it in the book, right?
In the book.
If it's in the book, then I'm born again, right? Well, now see, that's the same way God expects us to act on all these promises that he gives us for this faith that he's given us. And when we act on it, like he said, it will work for us. You know, but there's a little voice that we hear. Every time you begin to get some of this knowledge, now you're not in any kind of a trouble until you begin to get this kind of knowledge. Then when you begin to get this kind of knowledge, then this couple here, since he just got healed 3 weeks ago, I'll use him. So they come to church and they hear that if they repent of their sins and if two of them on earth agree about anything they ask for, now you know that's a scripture, right? Matthew 18, 19. So they go home and they say, well, then we're going to get together and we're going to agree my knees are healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, you made us a promise. It's done. Okay, and they say all that, and then somebody comes in and says, how are y'all doing? Well, we just prayed for my knees. Do you believe they're healed? I hope so.
No.
Is that the way we do things? I mean, is that the way the church does things? I hope so. Maybe. See, Jesus might have been in the process of healing his knees, but the minute he said, I hope so, the Lord says, I'm sorry. That's it. I'm a faith God. I'm not a wishy-washy God. That's not, and people will tell you, Thurman, that's not the way God works. I'm going to tell you, if I can show you in the Word of God, that's the way he works. James 1, 6 and 7. I want you to see this scripture in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Look what he said here. Then we'll come back here to 2 Peter. But when you ask, be sure that you really expect him to answer. So I come up to you and say, Terry, you invited me over for dinner next Sunday. Are you going to have dinner, Sunday dinner next Sunday? You said, well, I'm not sure. Now, if you just invited me to dinner, I expect you to have dinner next Sunday if you invited me to dinner, right? And I say, are we going to have dinner next Sunday? You invited me over. She said, well, I'm not sure. I hope so. Now, you think I'm going over there? Because she may not have no dinner. Now, if this woman comes and says, Thurman, I'm inviting you to dinner next Sunday, guaranteed we're going to have whatever, and she starts laying off chicken fried steak and cream gravy and all the things I like. She said, we're going to have dinner at my house. My husband and I are going to fix dinner for you, and come over. I'm going to be there, you know, if I possibly can, if I ain't got something else going on. But, I mean, you expect somebody to be positive, right? You don't expect them to say, well, maybe. I don't know whether I can do it or not. It's just like the first time we had, Ayesha, she's from Canada, Dave's wife. And, you know, obviously the Canadians are not raised on chicken fried steak like the Texans. And so the first time I told her, she said, what would you like for supper tonight? And I said, well, let's have some chicken fried steak. She said, some what? I said, chicken fried steak. She said, I never heard of that. And I thought, oh, my land. We got a woman here in Texas that never heard of chicken fried steak. She said, what do you do? I said, well, you take some flour and eggs and milk and everything. You mix up a batter and you dip it in it and all that stuff. And then you cook it and then you make some cream gravy. So we battered the steak and everything and she cooked it and it looked beautiful.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Who Are We Going to Believe? Or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.